Hello, Athlete Mindset community. This is Lisa Bontasumi, the host of Athlete Mindset. Before we dive into this episode, I want to invite you to support the mission and purpose of our show. For $10 a month, you can help to make sure these conversations get to as many athletes, teams, coaches, and sport mental health environments as possible. As a subscriber, you will receive exclusive content and updates on current topics in athlete mental health, and you'll be directly contributing to the betterment of mental health for all athletes. Join the cause. Subscribe at sportse.io/athlete and make a difference today. Again, that's sportse.io/athlete. With your support and amplification, we can ensure more voices are heard and more individuals and communities are positively impacted. Hey everyone, it's Lisa Bontasumi and I am the host of the Athlete Mindset Podcast. Thanks for tuning in. As you all know, I wear different hats. One of those hats I wear very proudly is sitting on the advisory board for the Dominican University of California's Applied Sport and Performance Psychology Program. Today is the first of a three-part series where I will sit down with the different staff at Dominican to discuss the field of sport and performance psychology. Today, we are starting with Kai Laird, Senior Program Manager. Welcome, Kai.
Hi, Lisa. Thanks for having me on the show.
Of course. I'm excited to kind of just jump right in here. Let's start with, for those who don't know, what is the difference between the work that a mental performance consultant does for athletes and high performers and what a licensed mental health clinician might do?
Yeah, definitely. So for a mental performance consultant, they're primarily going to be focusing on helping an athlete or performer really tackle goals that are tied to that performance domain that they're looking to improve upon. And they're going to provide that through mental performance consulting or mental skills training, which is also called using the sports and performance psychology methodology. And so the goals are tied specifically to whether it's in athletics or their performance domain, maybe it's career, maybe even sometimes academic performance as well. And so everything is going to be geared towards that, those conversations that they have, the interventions in really helping that individual improve their ability to perform and train within that area. Now, with a licensed clinician, it's definitely a little bit of a broader focus that they may be touching on, but it's usually goals tied to mental health and overall well-being that they're going to be supporting a client in. Those factors may play in a performance domain, but particularly they're looking at helping improve mental health in general. That's their focus, is really well-being and mental health. So all the interventions and conversations are going to be tied to helping improve that functioning in that particular area that the client might be struggling with. Maybe it's in relationships, maybe it's things going on at work, at home. So it could be a variety of different issues that they may be tackling.
I appreciate the breakdown. I think that's really important. And it's a number one like priority question. Like I get it asked all the time. What's the difference? And why is it separated? I would love your take on it. But my answer usually is, it's because it's two different industries and it's two different training and curriculum and theoretical perspectives. It's really two different fields. And so, Right? Is that how you see it too?
Oh, no. Well, yeah, most definitely. Because part of one of the hats I wear is also as a clinician, but also my other hat is as a consultant as well. So I was trained both. And there definitely is a huge difference for sure. And it is important to establish that difference just for the safety of the clients and making sure as well for the professional that they're operating within their domain that they feel most confident and prepared to help a client with. And to answer your question in terms of the difference, I would say it besides being a different industry, mental health providers are actually considered healthcare providers. And that's why they are usually using a diagnosis code when they're working with the client. And that's the reason why they can also use insurance for sessions versus mental performance consultant kind of falls into that field of coaching, consulting, and they aren't kind of required to follow the same standards as a healthcare provider. And so that's why it's also important to recognize that what they're focusing on is a whole different situation than someone who is working on your health.
No, it's a great distinction. Like you, I'm duly trained as a licensed mental health clinician and a mental performance consultant. And really, it's sometimes like, how do I even separate it? I mean, in these ways, it's very concrete. But the reason why I decided to pursue both, and I'd love to hear your take on it, is because I wanted to treat the human being who is a performer and athlete holistically and have all of who they are come to the table and be able to have them talk about it, express it, because I think a big part of it is prevention as well. Prevention of any mental health crisis or condition coming on to then negatively impact their ability to show up to life and their sport. So what motivated you to get duly trained?
It's definitely multifaceted, I would say. Okay. The first thing was that my older brother is a clinician as well. So I kind of grew up watching him grow his private practice. But he was also, he used to be a professional athlete. I used to see him like wear both hats as a clinician, as a performance consultant. And so that really motivated me that I was like, well, that's a pretty cool profession where you're working and helping people achieve goals. And you're not just doing it when it's tied to counseling and therapy, but also doing it from a performance standpoint. So that really motivated me, especially with my own passion in coaching and athletics, to be like, you know, I could see myself really enjoying the work, especially that I love working with people. And with specifically mental performance consulting or mental training, I consider it to be a very developing field as well in terms of how more prominent it's being as a career choice. Of course, mental health positions, that industry has been going around for a long time and has continued to grow. So I think also for sustainability purposes, for those people who are looking for a more stable opportunity and a career advancement, there's definitely a lot of opportunities in the field of mental health. While you can also do the performance work maybe on the side or as a private practice or with a company, more opportunities are continuing to grow. So for me, it also was a lifestyle choice, knowing that if I was trained in both, I had more options as well.
No. Right. It makes sense. And see, everyone, the practitioner is also a human who has their own story and lived experience that guides the decisions that we make. And so I think it's cool to hear, you know, a little bit of people's stories as they decide to engage and serve in this field. Given this exploration we've had and the difference between a licensed mental health clinician and a mental performance consultant, which I have to say, both, if you're singly trained in one or the other or duly trained, you can still work with athletes and high performers. It's not an either or. It's just how you do it and from what perspective. What is your scope of competence, your experience, the ethics and laws behind it, et cetera. So I don't want people to be mistaken that, oh, if I'm a licensed mental health clinician and only that, I can't work with athletes, because you can.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to clarify that. But the next question I have for you, since there is a distinction in the two professions, the two industries, what recommendations do you have for mental performance consultants who are working with athletes that begin to display mental health concerns? If they are not a licensed mental health clinician, what do they do in those situations?
Yeah, I think the most important thing is having like an established referral network that you can kind of lean on, especially since if you don't feel prepared and you're not trained to be able to tackle it and help the client, you also don't want to kind of abandon the client to get help that they may need. So having a referral network that you trust in, because maybe you have like professional relationships with people who can assist that athlete, it's going to really help that transition for the athletes if they can feel the confidence of knowing that you are providing a few options for them and you feel confident every option that you're providing, that these are professionals that's going to be able to help them with those particular goals tied to their mental health. So having a strong referral network is important, and one that's already established, because you want to be able to have that either ready anytime a client maybe starting to display some of those symptoms. And then you can also address some of it in just general conversation in terms of helping bring that awareness to the client in terms of like some of the things that you're seeing, so that they also, you could kind of help with that transition, with them transitioning to a mental health service. And it doesn't feel like, well, as soon as you start displaying symptoms, we got to stop services right now. It's more about what might be impacted, and then we get a better understanding. And so I can make sure I'm providing a referral that's going to be the best fit for what you need And I'm going to help that transition, because that might be something you want to prioritize right now for your own well-being and your health. So definitely just being aware of what to look for is important, because that's going to help with being able to provide appropriate referral, and having an established referral network is important, because the athlete is definitely going to rely a lot on your guidance with that, because they may not know what to look for, what do they need. And especially with the demand for mental health services increasing, and also there not being much of a supply, that sometimes the issues of people who need help getting put on wait lists, they're struggling to find a provider that could take them. And so they're going to just need some support to help navigate it, because there's so many different outlets for mental health therapy services now, especially that telehealth is available. It opens up a ton more doors for that client as well. But they might not be appropriate for telehealth, so they might need help finding local providers as well.
No, it's so valuable and important. Thanks for breaking that down. I think what I want to emphasize from what you're saying is that mental performance consultants can and are trained to counsel. And when we talk about counseling, lowercase c, you know, is different than therapy in the exact ways you talked about, guiding them through education, sorting, referrals, resources, etc. So like you said, the minute that, oh, there's a mental health concern that pops up, they have to like stop being in that relationship and the rapport that and trust that's already been built and hand it off to someone. It can then be, I still work on performance-based in my environment of performance, whether it's the field or the stage, and then can work collaboratively with a clinician. So that often happens, which is cool. They can work collaboratively or transfer depending on the situation. But given that, what are some of the symptoms or signs that a mental performance consultant should have an eye on that could maybe trigger that referral or that collaboration?
Yeah, some of the general, I guess, markers or identifiers you want to keep an eye on is definitely any change in just daily functioning. And that might be everything from eating patterns to sleeping patterns to mood fluctuating, energy levels, affect, like whether it's sad, mad, train of thoughts, maybe they're struggling with attention. So it could be a variety of different things, maybe functioning in academics, grades and performance, maybe dropping, maybe difficulties with, you know, relationships that they might be reporting. Hygiene, if you're in person, sometimes if they're looking a little disheveled, appearance could be some aspects as well. And that's why it's important to be aware of like a mental status exam, right? Just those kind of markers as well, in terms of just presentation, you might have a good idea of what to kind of look for if there's anything that changes based on the baseline that you understand about the clients. And then you might have conversations that to understand what might be going on in terms of stresses that they might be experiencing.
I appreciate it. Thanks for outlining that for us. I mean, let's say there is a listener right now who's tuning in and is like, wow, okay, now I'm a lot clearer on the training, curriculum, and focus that a licensed mental health clinician might have versus a mental performance consultant. And now I'm interested in like maybe checking out what a career might be like in mental performance consultation. What advice would you give to someone who's interested in possibly pursuing that career and is researching graduate programs to attend?
Anytime you're going to invest, I think, in higher education for yourself, it's very important to have like an end goal in mind, because that motivation or that goal is what's going to kind of fuel your ability to be successful in that higher education journey.
Mm-hmm.
And so you really want to have, you know, and it doesn't have to be a very concrete, very specific thing always, but have a general idea of like, all right, once I graduate, what am I going to do with this degree? How is this degree helping me, you know, in a sense, get opportunities that I'm leaning towards in my career? Because once you have that, then it's going to be a lot easier to then find a graduate program that's going to help get you there. For instance, maybe you're passionate about working with the military.
Mm-hmm.
You go and find a graduate program that definitely emphasizes you getting a CMPC certification, because a lot of now military contractors and positions, they have a preference for people who are CMPC.
Uh-huh.
So that's going to help you identify, like, if I go to this program and I see that a lot of people who've graduated from this program has gone into this line of work, that's going to help me for sure. And it would make sense that I chose a program that's going to help prepare me for that role. On the flip side, maybe for some people, they're unsure about getting a degree because they're not sure what they're going to do. And so it's very important to maybe explore maybe even other career opportunities. Like I kind of mentioned, that for some programs that maybe offer both, maybe the counseling and the sports, because maybe you're unsure and maybe you want to keep your opportunities open. And by going through that journey, you're going to have a better understanding through that experience which path you might be leaning towards, but at least you're prepared because you have both and you can make that decision at a later date versus going, spend too much time down one path and then recognizing, oh, I need to pivot and turn and then switch to a different program. And so I think it's very important, like I mentioned, just have a better understanding of where you want to be and how is that program going to help get you there is very important.
No, I agree. In your explanation, you did talk about the CMPC. What is the CMPC and how is that different than a mental performance consultant?
So the CMPC stands for Certified Mental Performance Consultant, and it's what I kind of say is like the gold standard certification in sports psychology, especially in North America, because it's distributed by the Association of Applied Sports Psychology, which is, I would have to say, is the biggest governing body when it comes to sports, applied sports psychology in the field, especially in North America. And having that certification, it's continued to grow in terms of its prominence with regards to in the industry starting to be recognized by major sports professional organizations like the NFL, NBA, MLB. When they're hiring for mental performance consultants or coaches, that's a certification that they're looking for, because if they see that you have it, that means that you've gone through all the required coursework as well as the applied training hours and supervision in order to receive that certification. So it's almost like a stamp of approval that you've been through certain levels of training and supervision in order to get it. So it kind of, in a sense, bona fides that you have some understanding and experience doing what you do. And so that's why it's very important. I think that also if you go to a program that provides you with that, it's going to add a little bit of advantage for you when you do graduate, because there's only a finite amount of people who do have the certification ready. I think right now it's still under 1,500. And so if you think about that in a grander scheme of context, across the US, 1,500 people doesn't sound like a lot. And the field is continuing to grow in terms of employment opportunities.
Yes, thank you. I appreciate it. I don't know if this was a Freudian slip, clinician to clinician, but you forgot to mention that the CMPC also, to get certified, you need to pass an exam. And after all of that, right, after the curriculum, the training, the applied work, mentorship hours and all that stuff, and I'm very, very keen on it because I am that exam away from getting my certification. So I'm like, so important to mention that part because that thing is rigorous. Like, I don't know. And I think it's interesting, right, for a clinician, because I've been a clinician for over 20 years coming in and training on the sports psychology side, and everyone's telling me, you got to leave your clinician hat at the door when you like, I'm like, I don't know how to do that. Gosh. And so like, it's almost like, I don't know, completely taking off a hat and putting on another one so I can like, just do this exam from that perspective, which is exactly what you're supposed to do. And so like, the rigor is intense. I'm not going to give up. I'm getting there. It'll be soon where I will be certified and join the esteemed group of 1,500 other CMPs, including yourself. So I just really, really appreciate you taking the time to talk about our industry, to talk about our profession. And, you know, maybe someone out there is listening and is like, wow, that's so cool. It's something I've been wanting to hear about, but never knew existed. And I want to check it out further. And so I just appreciate you adding to the content on this, the voice on it. And appreciate you really taking the time to spend time with me.
Well, same here, Lisa. Yeah, definitely appreciate the opportunity to connect and be able to discuss these topics with you for our audience.
Thank you again.
Athlete Mindset is part of the CASSOURCE Podcast Network. At CastSource, we love podcasts. In fact, we love building podcasts, everything from development to production. Because of all that, we're growing this one-of-a-kind podcast network. If you have a podcast or looking to launch a new podcast, then we should talk. You can message me on Twitter at @Eric_Kaz or hit us up any way that works for you by searching CastSource on your social media app of choice. Let's talk about your podcast joining this one-of-a-kind podcast network, the CastSource Podcast Network.